Yashodanam dana vraja jana ranjana. Yashodanam dana vraja jana ranjana. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabiyari. Jaya Radha Madhava. Gopi jana valaba giri vardari. Jaya gopi jana valaba giri vardari. Yashoda nanda na vraja jana ranjana. 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 Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Yamuna tira vanachari. Shayam Vishnu Pad Param Sapavak Shaya Sutta Satashi Shimare Si Bhakti Vinanta Swami Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai Namat Shaya Shira Ridas Thakur Ki Jai Shrimad Bhagavatam Lekshiva Ki Jai Samavita Bhakta Vinda Ki Jai. All glories to the Assembly Devotees, all glories to the Assembly Devotees, all glories to the Assembly Devotees, all glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Goranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Namon Vishnu Padai Krishna Prasthaya Bhutali, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Chinamini, Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gaura Vani Pachamani, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskacha Jijatarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya naram chayva narutamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jaya mudirayet. Before reciting Bishamad Bhagavatam, which is a very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan and to as a supermost human being, Narayan, Rishi, and to the goddess of fortune, Mother Saraswati, and unto the author, Srila Vyasadev. We are reading today from the third canto, entitled The Status Quo. I'm not sure why. Sometimes I always think of why is a different canto. Can I put it up? Is good like that? Hare Krishna. That's intimidating. So entitled The Status Quo. And we are reading from the 13th chapter, entitled The Appearance of Lord Varaha. And I need to get my glasses. And we are on text 47. Itam Bhagavan Uvim Sa Itam Bhagavam Uvim Vikvakshena Prajapati Vikvakshena Prajapati Rasaya Lilaya Unitam Rasaya Lilayonitam Apsu Nyasya Yayao Ahi Apsu Nyasya Yayao Ahi Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikvakshena Prajapatihi Rashaya Lilayonitam Apsunyasya Yayohari Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vishvasena Prajapati Nityam Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikshvashena Prajapati Sayavityam Sayavim Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikshvasena Prajapati Ashaya Lilayonitam Hapsunyasya Yayohari Sahitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikshvakshena Prajapati Ashaya Lilayonitam Amsunyasya Yayohari Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikshvakshena Prajapati Rasaya Liyayonitam Amsunyasya Yayohari Saitam Bhagavan Uvim Vikshvakshena Prajapati Rasaya Lilayonitam Apsunyasya Yayohari Sa Hi Itam In this manner Bhagavan The personality of Godhead, Uvim, the earth, Vikshvakshena, another name of Vishnu, Prajapati, the Lord of the living entities, Rasaya, from within the water, Lilaya, very easily, Unitam. rest, absous, on the water, nyasya, placing, yayo, return to his own abode. Hari, the personality of Godhead. Translation. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada ki jai. The personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, descends by his will to the material planets in his innumerable incarnations for particular purposes, and again he goes back to his own abode. When he descends, he is called an avatar, because avatar means one who descends. Neither the Lord himself nor his specific devotees who come to this earth are ordinary living entities like us. Repeat after me. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. Om Agyana Timirandasya Agyana Jala Shalakaya Shakshun Militam Dhyana Tasma Shri Goave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upa Kadamayam Datati Swapadam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Shah Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sagana Ragunatam Tam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Savadutam some help. Parijani Saita Krishna Chaitanya Divam Shri Radha Krishna Krishna Padam Sahaganali Vita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shae Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagadpati Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosuti Tapta Kanchana Gorengi Vrinda Radhe Vrinda Veneshwari Vishavanu Sudedevi Pranamami Yari Priye Vancha kalpata ubyacha kripa sindubhyay vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna prestaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami niti namine. Namaste sarasvate deve gaur avani pacharini. Nirvesesya shunyavadipas chacha dejatarini. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi gaur bhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. It's nerve-wracking to give, to be sitting here in front of all of you, advanced exalted devotees, and I beg for your mercy that somehow I will speak something that's enthusiasm for everybody's devotional service. And so we are continuing to read about Lord Varaha. And one aspect of the Lord that fascinates me a lot is aspects of the Lord that is in perfect timing, time and circumstances. He's expert in time and places and circumstances, one of the qualities of the Lord. And that fascinates me a lot. Like, I like to look like, oh, what did he do? So here we are speaking about Lord Varaha, and we know there is two Varaha, and here Maitreya Rishi is kind of describing both at the same time. Later on, it will be clear that it's Rakta Varaha, when, you know, when the pastime with Hiranyaksha and all that. But here, no, we can, it's kind of be both. And earlier, Srila Prabhupada describes that, or Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami state that. So if we look at Sweta Varaha, so he came at the beginning of the Lord Brahma's day, and he came because after Brahma woke up, And usually at the end of Brahma's death, there is inundation, so the lower part of the universe is in water, and then all the water recede, and then the planet are placed back in their orbit. But that time, for some reason, the Earth was still in the water. And, you know, we can see, like, yogis, sometimes they have some siddhis, they are very proud of their siddhi, and they can make things levitate. Levitate means they can make objects kind of be above the ground. So we can imagine that Lord Vishnu, who is omnipotent and omniscient, he could have done the same thing. He could have, you know, he's Yogeshwar, so he's a master of all mystic power. He could have, by his will, only by his will, everything can be done, Satya Sankalpa. Only by his will, he could have lifted the earth and put back the earth on its orbit. But no, he doesn't do that. He waits for, you know, some of the creation, the sages to come, some of the demigod, Prajapatis, and then wait for Manu to be put in charge of the earth, and then Manu go to Brahma and complain, like, where will I, you know, do my service? And he wait for all that to happen when he could have, any time, he could have lifted the earth and make sure that nothing special happened in the universe. But Krishna, like, he lacks sensation. Like human being, us, we lack sensation. Like when we go to the cashier at the grocery store, all the magazine there, they must sell a lot of them, is all about sensation. So Krishna likes to be sensational. He doesn't want to be like just ordinary when he comes and present himself. So of course he came after Brahma, kind of was meditating and thinking. That's what he does with Brahma. He's kind of giving time to think about things and meditate. And same thing at the beginning of the creation of the universe, the beginning of his day. And then he appears as a boar. It's a beautiful, wonderful, sensational, extraordinary boar. And in Europe, they use boar to dig truffles. Truffles are very valuable, eatable. I don't think I ever had a truffle, but they use boars to do that. So boars, they are used to dig the earth to bring things out. So Lord Vishnu, he decided to take the form of a beautiful small big boar, and he came out of the water and he shake his body and water splash all over. Can you imagine receiving one drop of that water coming out of the air of Vara's body? Like just one drop. And all the inhabitants of the heavenly planet, the sages, the demigod, they got completely enlightened, ecstatic by receiving those drops. And then, of course, they offer prayers. And that's why the Lord comes. He mainly comes to enliven his devotees. That's his purpose. His purpose is to enliven his devotees, and that includes us. What we are doing right now is that we are speaking about Lord Varaha. And so one of the Lord, he descends, and then he leaves, and he leaves behind a story. And when he leaves behind a story, we can repeat that story again and again and again. And each time we repeat that story, we can feel enlightened, enlivened. We can feel the ecstasy of being with the Lord's pastimes. And I really like the word here, Lilaya. Lilaya, it says very easily. So when the Lord Boar carries the earth, it's not a burden. Srila Prabhupada says sometimes people see God as Atlas. Atlas is carrying the earth. Ooh, he's very strong. But, you know, Krishna Vishnu doesn't need that. He doesn't need that. When he lifted the Govardhan Hill just with the pinky of his left hand, it's just like nothing. It's nothing. It's very, very easy. So Lilaya, it's pastime, and Lilaya is very easy. It's flowing. So that's an aspect of the Lord I really enjoy thinking about. And of course, we know, for example, Lord Nishingadev. Lord Nishingadev's timing is perfect. He could have come when Prahlad Maharaj was thrown into the oil, or when Prahlad Maharaj was about to be crushed by an elephant. He could have come all those times, and he did protect Prahlad Maharaj. It's not like he didn't, but he didn't protect Prahlad Maharaj too by manifesting himself, you know, in a form. He waited. He waited. He waited for the perfect moment when Hiranyakashipu will be so mistrusting of the existence of God that he will confront that existence very strongly. Is he here? And then the Lord, like, again, sensation. The Lord came out of a pillar. and in terms of the way it chose to come, I really appreciate how the Lord, you know, time, place, and circumstances, Lord Vamanadev, it's a very fascinating pastime. I know we all know that pastime, and still I want to share things that are special about the timing on this pastime, because at that time, the demigod, they had insulted their at that time, Bali Maharaj, that's another story I wanted to say, because it's always a story between the demigod and the demons in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? It's all the son of Kasyapa Muni. They just like to fight. And that's what they do. So Bali Maharaj, he's one of the Mahajan, he naturally did very strong austerity and sacrifice. He did a sacrifice called the Vishvaji Yagya. I don't know what it is, but it's a sacrifice that gave him a lot of power. And he received so many blessings from the Brahmana, and he received a chariot, he received weapons, and then he became so powerful that he couldn't be conquered. So at that time, the demigods, they scattered all over the universe because Bali Maharaj, he was there. He was in a heavenly planet, and he was doing well, and he was under the protection of the Brahmanas. He was under the protection of the Brahmanas. And there was nothing, their spiritual master of the demigods said, there is nothing you can do about it. He's under the protection of the Brahmanas. The only thing you can do is hide. Go hide. And then their mother, Aditi, she was very perturbed and grieving the loss of her sons. They were scattered all over. So she wasn't proud of them, and she couldn't interact with them. They were not ruling anymore. Maintaining and ruling the universe. And then she approached Kashyapa Muni, and he said, the only thing I can think about is ask Lord Vishnu, because nobody else can do anything in that situation. So she did the Payavrata's 11 days, I believe, 11 days of austerity. Sacrifice, and Kashyapa Muni said, you will see Vishnu at the end. And she did. He came to her, and he said, I'm going to come. And she was afraid for him. And he said, I will come with the perfect place, in the perfect time, and in perfect form. Because, again, the Lord doesn't want to, in the same way that with Lord Nishingadev, didn't want to go against the words of Lord Brahma, who gave crazy boons to Hiranyakashipu. He was told, he was chastised, don't do that again. Anyway, in the same way, the Lord will never go against the Brahmanas. Go Brahmana Itayachas. Like the Lord doesn't go against the blessing of the Brahmanas, and because Bali Maharaj was under the blessing of the Brahmanas, Lord Vishnu didn't choose to come in a form to. He could have destroyed Bali, of course. is a source of Bali Maharaj. So he could have destroyed Bali, but because he wanted to fulfill Aditi and reestablish the order in the universe, because when the demigods are not in charge, everything is in chaos in the universe. So he wants to reestablish order in the universe, and he wanted to do that while fully respecting the fact that the brahmanas are under his protection. So that's how he took the form of a beautiful little dwarf brahmanas. So that's the kind of things that to me are very fascinating, how the Lord take a very special, he said, like in a purport, like he, an avatar, he comes for a certain purpose. He comes and he goes. He goes back to this abode, because the Lord, in all his form, is eternally existing. There is a science to avatar. Lord Chaitanya took some time to describe that science to Sanatan Goswami in Prayag, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita chapter 20, the second part of chapter 20, there is a lot of description of that for whoever wants to have more the philosophy of avatar. But basically, like, there is, you know, like Krishna and his first expansion, Lord Balaram, and then after that, there is a Chaturvyuha, you know, Vasudev, Shankarshana, Neruda, Pradyumna, and Lord Narayan, and then the second Chaturvyuha, and then from that, there is 24 forms of Vishnu that emanates. And then from them, all the avatars come from, and all, you know, like, and they are all spread all around the Vaikuntha planet, all over. And so when they descend as an avatar, they come with a certain purpose, and then a plenary expansion of those expansion come and take a different form, you know, like Vahara and Lord Nrisimhadev. And so there is another pastime. I think I will take time to go on, because it's a very fascinating pastime. Also, from the eighth canto, is the churning of the milk ocean. Because in that pastime, the incarnation come one after another after another. Lord Vishnu takes so many forms. So at this time, that time it was not that the demons were pleasing their guru and brahmana. It was that the devotees, the demigods, they had offended their spiritual master. And because they had offended their spiritual master, they had lost all their power. They had no power anymore. And then because they had no power, then Indra and all the asuras, they were ruling. And when their rule is not very good, it's good for the sacrifice stop, the exchange between the demigod and the human being stop. Like, yeah, when the demons are in charge, things are not good. There is no auspiciousness in the universe. So they were very aggrieved, but they had offended their spiritual master. So they decided to inquire from Lord Brahma, of course. It's like kind of the beginning of the pastime of Krishna. All the demigods, they went to the milk ocean and with Brahma, and they petitioned Lord Vishnu. And Lord Vishnu say, okay, do a truce with your brother, just do a truce and churn the amrit, the nectar, amrit, mwichu, mitru, ham, shara. Like mwichu mean death, and ham means no death. So amrita, the nectar of immortality. So they went to the milk ocean, and then, you know, like they went to get the Mandara mountain, which is made of gold, so it's very, very heavy. And so they started to carry it, and they were proud and everything, and then they collapsed under it because they didn't have the strength. So that's the first time Lord Vishnu comes. And on the carrier of on Gauda, he comes, he leaves the mountain, Mandara mountain, and he gave back the life to all the demigods and the demons that died there. And that's very interesting to think that, because the demons, they were saved by Lord Vishnu. They saw Lord Vishnu carrying the Manda mountain, and they still didn't get it. So, you know, what can we do, like in book distribution? Like, if Krishna come in front of you and they don't get it, what can we do? So they went, Lord Vishnu carried the Manda mountain, he put it in a milk ocean, and then they went to get Vasuki. And that's a really funny part, because Lord Krishna is Dhira Lalita. He's very funny. And so, of course, Krishna's to a Bhagavan Swayan. So all incarnation of Krishna, all Vishnu form, all emanation, all partial, you know, emotions, they're all within Krishna. And so those quality also, different quality manifest in different incarnation. So they went to get Vasuki, the serpent Vasuki, to be the churning rod. And so they went to, and Vishnu, he took the head of Vasuki, and then all the demigods were like following him with the head of Vasuki. And then of course the demons are jealous by nature. So they felt, what? But, and then they use the Veda, they use the knowledge of the Veda, showing themselves as scholar. Like we are scholars, we know the Veda, and it's very inauspicious to hold the head of a serpent, or to, and inauspicious to hold the tail of a serpent. And so we don't want the tail of the serpent. And so, and so Lord Vishnu said, here, take the head, because you're the knower of the Vedas. And so Vishnu is very, very tricky like that. And then, of course, when they started the churning, because the demons, they had the head of Vasuki, they got all the smoke and all the fire, and they got burned, and they got completely trashed with salt and everything. And so that's the way the Lord did. He just pretended that he would give the head of Vasuki to the demigods. But in fact, he wanted to see that, because he knows that the demons, they are jealous and quarrelsome, and of course, you know, everybody's a demon in Kali Yuga. So we are all demons kind of like that. And so this pastime goes on, and Lord Vishnu came, and he comes in a form like of Kurma. And why he come in the form of Kurma? Because he want to scratch his back with the Mount Mandaras. And it's like so interesting, so fascinating, so extraordinary, and to imagine the Lord coming as a turtle, but because the Mount Mandaras was kind of sinking, so he came and he carried it for it to be churned, and then the demigods and the demons they churn, but they were wimpy. They couldn't get anything out of the churning, and so then again. So Lord Vishnu, he was below as Kurma, and he was above in a thousand arm form of the Mount Mandaran. And he again, so there is three Vishnu right there in one place. He came and he came to help them, and so he started to churn. And when it started to churn, then the ocean became so agitated. Then the halala, like the poison, came. Lord Shiva came, drank the poison. And then after that, the nectar came, and another incarnation, Dhanvantari, comes, and that's another funny place where the demons snatch the nectar from Dhanvantari, who finally the nectar is churned. He has the urn and he comes. They were supposed to share. That was the agreement, that when they come, the nectar comes, they will share between the brothers, the demons and the demigods. And they snatch, the demons did snatch it, but they don't do anything with it. Why? Because they are quarrelsome. So they started fighting. And during their fight, then Lord Vishnu decided, okay, I'm going to trick them. And he came as charming Mohini Murti in a form of a woman, again, to bewilder all the demons, that they will not think of the nectar of immortality anymore, because all they could think is their lust for that beautiful, amazing woman. So that's that's a few example of the fascinating ways that I love looking at the Lord and his specific purpose, avatar, when he descends. And in the course of my reading, I don't know if I can pull it off, but in the course of my reading, I came to some statement from Srila Prabhupada, and I'd like to spend some time with that. Let's see if I can find it. I'm not very good with notes. If I don't have anything in my, everything in my head, I don't get. Okay, so in the course of my reading, I came about to seemingly contradictory purport of Srila Prabhupada. And that's another thing I really like, because as devotees, when we see contradiction, we want to expand ourselves. And in a material consciousness, when there is contradiction with two statements, in duality, we go into contention and confrontation and maybe conflict. Yeah. But in spiritual consciousness, when there is contradiction, then it's an opportunity for expansion, for conversation and expansion. So here is from the second canto, a seventh chapter and verse 53. The Lord's activity in association with these different energies should be described, appreciated, and heard in accordance with the teaching of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusory energy of the Lord. So we are supposed to recite those pastimes again and again and again and again. And in material consciousness, there is a sense like, I'm done, I know that, let me get to the next thing. I want to know something else, I want to read something else. I read the Bhagavad Gita, I'm done. Like, where is the new thing? But, you know, here Srila Prabhupada says something different. And because in spiritual consciousness, everything is always fresh. Bhagavad Gita, always fresh. Srimad Bhagavatam, always fresh. Chaitanya Charitamrita, always fresh. So the purport read, the science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiments of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activity in relationship with the external energy to be useless for them. It's useless to hear about Varadev or any of those incarnations. And they may falsely claim to the higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord, but factually the Lord's activity in relationship to the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. So that's one statement. And then somehow I read that statement, I wanted to share it with you, and thinking, wow, this is far out. And then in the course of my reading, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita very slowly right now for the last few months, very, very slowly. Maybe it's like 11 times that I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, but this time I just go so slow. And I'm really appreciating the Bhagavad Gita so much. So it's from a verse 1865. In a purport of 1865, Srila Prabhupada said, always think of me because my devotee, worship me and offer your homage to me. That's this verse. Man mana bhava mad bhakta. This word stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna, the very form with two hands carrying a flute, the bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feather in his hair. There are descriptions of Krishna found in Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Godhead, Krishna. He should not even divert his attention to other form of the Lord. The Lord has multiforms, as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is close to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna. So that sounds like a contradiction, isn't it? So all those sages, Maitreya Rishi, yeah, I'm sure Maitreya Rishi, you know, like you have heard a lot about Varadev. I'm sure Vidura Maitreya Rishi heard so many times there is temple of Varadev that was there before the birth of Vidura. So we can imagine Vidura is not ignorant of the appearance of the Lord as Vara. Sutta Goswami speak about Vara to the sages, Sukadev Goswami, of course, to Maharaj Parikshit, Srila Prabhupada. We have the first canto, third chapter. It's like Krishna is the source of all incarnation, describing all the incarnation. Again, in the second canto, I think the third chapter in the first canto and seven chapters in the second canto, Squadron Incarnation. So all that, so how we reconcile the two? That on one hand, Srila Prabhupada saying, don't go to listen, only read about Krishna and his interaction with internal energy. We should be eager to hear his interaction with external energy, which is what we are reading, Vara. It's Earth and all the, and then in the Bhagavad Gita, he say, only put your attention, don't put your attention to those other incarnation, Narayan Vaha. So that's really interesting. I can share a little bit of where I went with it. I just have half a minute to do that. So I think what I really love about Srila Prabhupada is how careful he is with his huge usage of vocabulary, words. And so on one hand, we want to hear about the different incarnation of the Lord. And in another hand, we want to focus our attention on Krishna, the blue boy, Shyamasundar. And there is no contradiction here. But if we go too fast and we are not in the right consciousness, we will find contention and disturbance in those, and then it will lead to separation and conflict. And in spiritual consciousness, we expand through those contradictions. Every contradiction allow ourselves to have conversation and then expand our consciousness. And Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam, and I'm like constantly increasing the bliss of hearing about Krishna. So I will read the verse again. In this manner, the personality of the Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entity, raised the earth from within the water, and after and having placed it afloat on the water, he returned to his own abode. I just want to say one thing, is that at the end of the purport, and I had some note about that, Srila Prabhupada said, that the devotees and the Lord come from a specific purpose, not like ordinary living entity like us. And I was touched by Srila Prabhupada's humility, because Srila Prabhupada is an ambassador from the spiritual world. He didn't come forced to come to this world. He came with a very specific purpose and mission that, you know, unfolded towards the end of his pastime on earth. Hare Krishna, thank you for listening. Is there any comment, question, Pran Govinda Prabhu?
I was, very nice class, thank you. I was focusing when you were reading 1865. We actually don't worship Nrisimhadev or Varahadev. We never worship. We worship Krishna, who assumed the form of Nrisimhadev and Varahadev. So there is no contradiction to me, and I hope nobody has contradiction on that. Because we always say Keshava Drita Sukar Rupa, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa. So one sense we never really worship Nishingadev or Barahadev. We worship Krishna who assumed a majestic or greatness form called Barahadev or Nishingadev.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's, you know, it seems that we have an opportunity to see Krishna in all his different expansion and, you know, expansion of expansion and partial representation. And we have an opportunity to see Krishna and appreciate Lord Vaha and want to be around that splashing water coming out. And all that, you know, appreciating that Varaha is a part of Krishna, and Krishna manifests himself and deal with the material energy in so many different forms, because he doesn't get his hand dirty, but he, you know, he has all his expansion to show us, you know, who he really is, like that. Thank you.
I remember reading Sanatana Goswami Pad's commentary when Mother Yashoda changed 10 times the outfit of Krishna, and he's like always playing and making dirty, and then coming back every after few hour or minute. And then at the end, Mother Yashoda said, that's it, you're going to stay in the room and you cannot go out and play anymore. I already changed 10 times. So then Krishna is just thinking what to do, and he acted like he's so gentle. Then Mother Yashoda says, felt kind of a overwhelming affection. Said, okay, you can go and play because you are so nice boy, but do not make dirty again. So he goes there and plays, and there was a question of creation between Sridham and Krishna. So who knows how to create? Of course, Jogamaya covered Sridham's idea of Krishna as a supreme origin creator. So then Sridham created with the sun, he made a castle and all these things, and Krishna also created. And then, of course, other boys are there. I'm just focusing on these two. And then Sridham says, you don't know how to create. Krishna says, yes, I do. No, you don't know. So then Krishna brings... Krishna kicks Sridham's creation, whatever it was. And Sridham got so mad, he took the whole dirt, sand, and water and stuff and put it on his head. This is your gift. You don't know how to play. Now, of course, the whole dress is completely dirty. And then Mother Yashoda, Krishna knows how to get the attention of Mother Yashoda. Anybody knows what's the power of the child? What's the biggest power of the child? Cry. Yeah, cry, tears. So Krishna started crying. He didn't say whether fake or real, but he started crying. Then Mother Yashoda realized, he said, it's all right, it's okay. He was not angry. So she brought. So the point was, after she dressed him again and put him on the lap, and she had a conversation. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, 3 things she does. She massages fatty thigh. That's how Prabhupada put, fatty thigh. And she prays to Narayan for his protection, and also giving breast milk. 3 things she does simultaneously. So she's conversing. Why you like so much dirt? I think last life you were a pig. I really believe you are a pig. Then Krishna stopped sucking breast, came out of under the blouse, and looking at her, did she figure it out? I was Barahadev. Then the whole show of my enjoyment will be over. But then after a little while, she said, doesn't matter, you are my child. Oh, she felt relieved. So Krishna also has a problem with the Baraha form. It's not just us.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Was it Marumati?
Oh.
Thank you, Prangalana Prabhu, for such a nice nectar there. And I was just thinking that when you were talking about Krishna being, he's so sensational, you know, he does. And I was thinking, yeah, I mean, that's what is so fun about Krishna, you know. That's why hearing this pastime is so sweet. You know, Prabhupada says that Krishna is just like me and you. He's a person. He's trying to make the point that Krishna is a person. So I always think that, you know, how young boys are, they're very creative, you know. I mean, young girls are also very, they're all creative, but what the boys, how what they think creation, what their imaginative is different than what the girls, generally speaking, they imagine, you know, their imagination, young boys, young girls. And so Krishna is just a young boy. You can see young boys, their mind goes all over the place, you know, doing this or doing that. So you can see how when Krishna, when he imagines like to come out of someone's nose and become this huge thing, or, you know, or like the Matsya avatar, he puts in a little bowl and then he becomes big, you know, his imagination. The difference is that with Krishna's imagination, he accomplishes so many things, but besides accomplishing many things, he really makes his devotees very endearing to their, you know, to their heart. You know, just to think about, again, your point about Krishna being so sensational is just so true. It's so exciting. Everything he does is so so amazing, yeah. Especially Mohini Murti, that whole pastime. It's pretty far out. Thank you for bringing that aspect of Krishna. I was appreciating that.
Thank you for your sharing, yeah. You're excited about Krishna, little boy, being like creative and you know, finding a way to manifest himself in a way that fulfills so many purposes, and purposes that he could fulfill in different ways. Every time he could fulfill all those purposes in a different way. But he fulfills those purposes in ways that's lilaya. It's easy, it's fun, and it gives so much pleasure to his devotees. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
And to add to Manumati, I would say that Krishna does the same in our lives. Sometimes we think he's going to react this way or give us the mercy that way. He does it in such an amazing way.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad you brought that to the surface, because in terms of time, place, and circumstances, you know, come now, Krishna. Now I have trouble. Now it's time to come. Now it's time that you need to help me. And then we may feel like, okay, there is something. And then Krishna comes in ways that's unexpected, completely unexpected. Usually, you know, in his pastime with us, it usually is painful for our false identification. Usually it's painful for any our ego or any part of that. But usually it's also very fun if we have some distance, if we can take some distance. Thank you, Imavati Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Pran Govinda here gave me the microphone, right? And he got me kind of confused, you know? So we're supposed to worship, you know, Krishna within the form of Varaha, or no. Krishna as Varaha, or Varaha as Krishna in a pattern. Oh, okay. And then the other question I had, so I'm driving up, right? I'm driving in, listening in, and I got a little, I was wondering, it's like, is Lord Vahaha the same, related to Lord Varaha? Because it sounds like they're doing a lot of the same things.
Stiti Dimuni Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, you know, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, that means that all Varad, Nishungadev, Matsya, Kurma, they are all contained within Krishna. But within Vara, Matsya, Kurma, not all of Krishna is contained into them. Hare Krishna.
Very good. The chat, what is the other question and what is the other question's reference between the material energy and spiritual energy?
I'm not understanding the question.
you have mentioned another contradiction about internal potency and external potency. You are saying something, there is a conflict or contradiction.
Well, the conflict of the contradiction was between those two purports. That one purport, Srila Prabhupada said, we should not go to the pastime of Krishna with his internal potency. We should not go there. We should really relish reading again and again the pastime of Krishna with his external energy. And then in a purport to Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the 18th chapter, verse 65, then Srila Prabhupada seems to say the opposite. He said, we should not give our attention to Varaha or Narayan or any of the expansion of Krishna. We should only give our attention to the blue boy with peacock feather who plays the flute. That's the contradiction? Yeah?
You have mentioned something, internal potency and external potency. Some contradiction on those two. Did you mention something? Maybe there is
some. I'm not sure what I said that created that confusion. Yeah.
Okay. If there's no confusion, no
confusion. Yeah. Well, there is maybe confusion. Sometimes I say things and people get confused. That's happened.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Grand Taraj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Thank you, Hare Krishna.